A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Judaizers, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and those whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The good news of Jesus according to John.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is customary for some preachers to begin each sermon with this sort of greeting. Back in the time of Christ, rabbis, including Jesus, used similar words. "Peace be with you," they'd say. But when Jesus himself spoke these words, it was more than "have a nice day, a peaceful day." Because God raised Jesus from the grave, Jesus truly had the power to give peace then, and he does now as well. As Jesus was preparing his followers for the trials he would have to undergo and the suffering that would mean for them, he spoke words like these from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Later in chapter 16, Jesus promises, "In me, you may have peace." Do you feel the peace of Christ in your heart? I know some Christians who mark the time that they came to believe as the time that they began to feel a deep peace transforming their lives of worry and stress. When we live as followers of Jesus, he offers us peace that will soothe our troubled hearts. This is no small matter because we can become frightened by a number of things. Many face health challenges or the task of making ends meet with our finances and budgets. We can be troubled by looking for belonging, looking for recognition, satisfaction, or meaning in our lives. And sometimes being troubled reaches the level of real fear about our well-being. There was a little boy who was very much afraid of the dark. He was told by his mother to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. He turned to his mother and said, "Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled reassuringly at her son. "You don't have to be afraid of the dark," she explained. "Jesus is out there, and he'll look after you and protect you." The little boy looked real hard at his mother, and he asked, "Are you sure he's out there?" "Yes, I'm sure. He's everywhere, and he is always ready to help you when you need him," she said. The little guy thought about it for a minute, and then he went to the back door and cracked it a little. Peering out into the darkness, he called, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom?" Isn't this perhaps the way we turn to Jesus for security in our lives? I don't know about you, but I think it's easy to look for the power of God to bring us security and peace. Especially at Easter, it's easy because we see the awesome power of God revealed. Because Jesus was raised from the grave, we know that God has power even over death. But what kind of power is at work here? Let's take a look at what happens in today's gospel among the disciples and Jesus. Thomas takes the center stage with his statement of unbelief. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now that's a strong statement. Some translations have identified Thomas as doubting. In fact, if you Google doubt, there would be a picture of doubting Thomas. Other translations of these words indicate that Thomas was not only doubting, he was faithless and unbelieving. "Unless I see, I will not believe." It takes divine power to move Thomas to confessing faith in Jesus as God's Son. Again, what kind of power is at work? Thomas asks to see Jesus' wounds. He does not ask to hear Jesus' teachings again. Much less does he want to see Jesus do a miracle. Thomas goes on about Jesus' wounds. This is a profound request. If he's going to believe that Jesus has been raised, he needs to know if God has gained the victory by means of wounds. When the people of Israel looked for God to come and establish the divine kingdom, it was thought that God would come by force. It was expected that God would conquer death, the devil, and evil by force, by fiat. They looked for the Messiah to speak a word and to subdue the powers of death by the flick of a wrist or by snapping his fingers. This kind of force and aggression was what the world expected. It was the kind of power that the world knows. What Thomas needed to see was the proof that God really had gained the victory by the wounds on the body of Jesus through the cross. Jesus' wounds show his self-giving love. God did not overcome evil, sin, and death by throwing the divine weight around, but by self-giving love. After the resurrection, Jesus shows himself, wounds and all, to those who might have missed it. He comes offering the peace that gives real security. "Shalom," he says, "peace be with you." The Hebrew word shalom means wholeness. What makes a person whole? Being at peace within oneself and being at peace with others. Practicing God's presence as peace means seeking an inner calm and sense of well-being. There's certainly a great deal around and about us that can upset us. There's the daily grind. Or tempers flare up. Tensions build and erupt. Being agitated only drains our energy. Giving into aggression when we feel angry not only upsets our own inner peace, it also destroys peace around us. Before we go down the road of aggression, we could look for the warning signals of worry and upset. These feelings can be signals that our emotions are building. One of my learnings as a minister has been recognizing the great difference between expressing anger appropriately and constructively, or lashing out, that is the way of aggression and harm. Anger can be dangerously contagious. Remember the baseball player, Mickey Mantle? Mickey and his friend Billy went to a Texas ranch of another friend one day to hunt. Mickey told Billy to wait in the car while he checked in with his friend. Mickey's friend quickly gave them permission to hunt, but he also asked Mickey for a favor. He had a pet mule in the barn who was going blind, and he didn't have the heart himself to put him out of his misery. He asked Mickey to shoot the mule for him. When Mickey came back to the car, he pretended to be angry. He scowled and slammed the door. Billy asked him what was wrong, and Mickey said that his friend wouldn't let them hunt. "I'm so mad at that guy," said Mantle. "I'm going out to his barn and shoot one of his mules." Billy protested, "We can't do that." But Mickey was adamant, "Just watch me." He jumped out of the car with his rifle, ran inside the barn, and shot the mule. As he was leaving, though, Mantle heard two shots. He saw that Billy had taken his rifle from the car, too. "What did you do?" yelled Mickey. "We'll show that son of a gun. I just killed two of his cows." Anger can be dangerously contagious. As Proverbs puts it, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, or you may learn his ways." If you and I are going to receive the Easter peace of Jesus, his wholeness, we will know both an inner state of well-being and calm, and will have an outer project of promoting nonviolence. When we cooperate with each other, we work to resolve conflicts. This creates the climate to increase peace around us, in our hearts and our homes, in our church and community. When you hear the words nonviolence, do you think of methods for nations to avoid war? Or the kind of environment we want in schools, public places of worship, or public places where weapons have no part? Yet a community of nonviolence of any size begins in our hearts and homes, with how we treat those who are nearest and dearest to us. If we forget and deny our basic identity as God's children, we treat each other as worthless instead of priceless. So this Easter, Jesus comes once again offering us a life of peace. He assures us that we need not grasp at power through aggression. He has conquered even death by his wounds of self-giving. Because of his triumph, we know that the world is held securely in the wounded hands of compassion. As Henry Nouwen, a spiritual guide, has said, if we can see and know deeply that we are loved and rejoice in that love, then we can be true peacemakers ourselves. Easter Jesus still bears in his hands and side the marks of his wounding, showing us that he loves us and gives himself for us always. May God increase our sense of that love, that we will truly know and spread the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Amen.
Alleluia. Amen.
I invite your reflections.